It's the 2040s, and our nation states have been privatized by mega corporations. Their colossal building projects run rampant, forever changing the skyline and painting it black with surveillance. Welcome to CCSH, the corporate city-state of Helsinki. A colossal behemoth multi-layered city where the upper class enjoys fully personalized, automated, luxurious lifestyle, and the not-so-fortunate have to live in the perpetual shadow of their towers. Somewhere beneath the surface, a group of hacktivists are preparing for change. They call themselves Uprise. Clickety-click. Yes. Soon, a mysterious message appears on online forums, email lists, and even on the city streets. It invites talented individuals to challenge themselves through a series of puzzles. At some point, the puzzles stop being just puzzles. Unbeknownst to the participants, they end up taking part in a massively distributed cyber attack. Target of this attack is a company called Dvergar. It's a global conglomerate that owns the majority share of the robotics market across the board. Uprise has been growing increasingly worried about their so-called Project Odin, a project to create an artificial general intelligence. The attack follows a long list of preparations targeting cooling, fire suppression, and access control systems at one of Dvergar's research and development facilities. What ensues is a catastrophic overheating of their mainframe and a fire that destroys the facility. Odin and its source code is presumed extinguished. However, recently a key AI scientist at Dvergar, Dr. Kalle R. Voutilainen, has gone a bit rogue. He has utilized the Odin source in one of his personal projects, aiming to create intelligent companion robots, pets, sort of. Some of these robots hidden in the facility had survived the fire. This was the prelude to our first robot uprising hackathon, then called a hands-on engineering battle, where participants hired by Dvergar's corporate partners and investors battled the remnants of the facility's security system. Their goal was to guide these robots out of the facility and claim the Odin source for their own. We saw all kinds of creative solutions to our obstacle course, and even one robot that was controlled with the flute. In our second event, now appropriately titled A Story-Driven Hackathon Experience, participants faced our renewed obstacle course. This time their challenge was to gain access to one of Dvergar's quantum computers. It could be used to extract the Odin source from the previous event's companion robots. The participants' solutions grew more creative, this time utilizing components outside the given Lego robot kits and even climbing to previously unreachable areas on the track. We also had plenty of amazing side activities from like first-person controlled RC cars to a secret shop that was manned by a talking robot head. The event had grown and so had our team. Then in our third installment, we launched a new challenge. In addition to the obstacle course, we made something called Artificial Invaders. It is a ball game of sorts, but only for fully AI-controlled robots. The event, again, was a huge success, this time bringing together almost 300 participants eager to learn more by building cool robots and facing our challenges. Story-wise, it was about the clash of two megacorporations. They had now extracted the Odin source and battled each other over the control of the city. Then something happened. Not only in the story we had told in 2019, but the year following it, Helsinki went under lockdown. Our futuristic visions had spilled into the present day. But despite the challenging world situation, we were able to organize two smaller competitions. We downscaled the Artificial Invaders format into a more manageable, smaller version with fully 3D printed robots. We called it Micro Invaders for its smaller size. We didn't really know after the spring of 21 when we had the second competition, like where was the world heading. So there was a couple quiet years. But this year, we started to wake up the thing again. We hosted another Micro Invaders competition during the summer, and our community is now ready for something bigger. It's time to rebuild, time to reboot the uprising. Will you join us? My name is Juho Kostet. I am the co-founder and chairman of Robot Uprising, and all about building this kind of fun stories and puzzles and robots. In short, Robot Uprising is a story-driven robotics and AI experience. It manifests itself through these competitive hackathon-style events. Today, Katarina is going to tell us a little bit more about who are the people behind Robot Uprising. Then Karim is going to go into the so-called narrative event cycle, or how does the narrative bring all the stuff together and elevate the entire experience. And then Katarina is going to explain what are the building blocks of this narrative tech event. And then at the end, we will summarize and give some tips on how you can build your own event like this.
Okay. So in case it's unclear, my name is Katarina. And I'm also a co-founder of Robot Uprising and a vice chair. Previously, I was a competitor, and I will share my sights on that later on. So what are we now? COVID did us kind of dirty, but then a few years ago, me and Juho met again at Disobey. I don't know if anyone's heard of it. It's this maybe a bit of a cool event in Helsinki, but Yeah. So we started talking about robots, and long story short, we founded an actual association to support our drive towards educating people about robots and AI. And slowly, people started founding us again. We have a Discord forum, and it was really interesting how the old people who used to be organizers now wanted to be competitors, and then some of the old people who were competitors wanted to be organizers. So we have really cool thing going. And it's also international. The forum is in English. And we've always had like expats from Finland participating also. And so some of the people that used to be there are now all around the world and still interested in our stuff. We also meet cool people at different tech events. That's been kind of like our main source of getting new people interested in the last year. Like we met Karim last year, and he will tell you more about the narrative event cycle.
Hi, I'm Karim. Yes, I'm Karim, and I've moved to Helsinki from Germany. I've been active in the German hacker scene for 10-something years. I was one of the organizers of the First to Maker fairs in Germany and one of the founders of my spiritual home, Munich Maker Lab. Shout out there. We even had an unofficial hackathon team, of which I was also a founding member. So I know a good hackathon format when I see one. And when I met Juho in hackathon, because I wanted to take part in a hackathon again, but apparently I'm too old, rude. So I was a mentor there, I met Juho, and he told me about an event and I caught fire immediately. So I had to bring us here to the bigger stage with two bigger fish for the pond we are in and blow this thing international. So I've been spending this year thinking about what makes those events tick. So I call this the narrative event cycle. It's something, to be honest, I made up, but it's what I use to make sense of why this is awesome and hopefully transport that to you so you also understand what narrative and tech events have to do with each other. So in a nutshell, the narrative inspires the events. The events provide real-world cornerstones for the narrative to progress. But in the end, what we want is we want participants to become part of the robot uprising universe. How this fits together is not necessarily obvious, so let me walk you through it. So the narrative is used in the pregame to immerse the players into the world of robot uprising. It might seem curious. It leads to them taking an agency that they wouldn't take in normal hackathon-style events, which leads to the participants to shape the events in a way that is not predictable to us and makes the events much more richer. The events then add to the existing virtual fictional universe that we then again can express in a form of narrative in the post-event. So what can that look like? For example, there's a Discord where we invite people in not only to prepare, but also to discuss the narrative. We publish story teasers, like the videos you've seen. There are also like a library of lore videos that you can have a look at our YouTube site. And as Juho said, riddles and puzzles work wonderfully well to catch people to want to solve the puzzle, but of course they're embedded in the narrative, so this leads to people being curious and getting pulled into the narrative that way. Our participants then will, a lot of the participants will start inventing a backstory for their teams, align themselves within that universe with certain factions. They might develop logos. We have a lot of awesome team logos. You know, one team starts with it, then everyone wants a logo, so they do that. It goes even as far as them creating uniforms and costumes. You might have seen it in a video here and there. It becomes the identity of the team. So in a very real sense, the participants embody characters in the universe in which those events take place. So, of course, the events provide results. So, like, clear facts. In an example, when you pitch to mega corporations, against each other. One win will, one will lose. Which one it is, we don't know. So it provides a delightful randomness to us as well, because we don't know what's going to happen next. It's a bit like daydreaming. You start a story yourself somehow, but you're not the one who's telling the story in a very real sense. And of course, with those empowered participants, it leads to cool moments that will all add to this universe. And we then go ahead and express it. We publish social media posts. We write the narrative up in blogs. And of course, a lot of awesome videos that get produced. By the way, a lot by collectives that are also inspired by the narrative to add to it in other forms than writing, for example. I hope I managed to convey to you how narrative and event interact with the participants in the virtual universe, so that now Katarina can tell you how you actually do an event like that.
Yeah. Okay, so this is going to be like my perspective as a competitor. And I'll start with a really embarrassing story of my childhood. So when I was a kid, I went to this like math and science school, which is nerdy on its own. But then there was these super embarrassing people. You know the kids at school who do live action role playing. They run around with their swords and do kinds of weird stuff. And I was like, no, that's so awesome. Seriously, I was low-key interested, but it was so embarrassing that I could never act on it. So when I was in the university and I heard of Robot Uprising, I was like, damn, that's interesting, because it was immersive. It's not role-playing, so it's totally different. This is just for the cool adults that like robots and AI. So this is my take on what you need to have a good narrative tech event. First, you need to have the story, but it doesn't need to be first. I will explain it to you later. But anyways, story, you need to have the tech that you're interested or the people are interested in. Then you need to have people, side hustle, and partners. So let's start with the story here. So what I found really cool and interesting in this Robot Uprising story to begin with was that there was something familiar about it. It took place in Helsinki, which is the city where I was studying. So it was there was some kind of a pinpoint to reality, even though it was super dark and sci-fi and awesome stuff. And robots. So it was something that kind of made sense, but then also at the same time as there was the resistance and this slight hope that even though world seemed totally doomed, there is something you can do about it. So it was kind of you can immersively play that you are affecting your own future, which makes the reality seem less gloom. But then at the same time, when you go to a hackathon that's 48 hours, you go into a building and you don't come out. It's kind of like a super cool escape from actual reality. You just get to play out that stuff, but not in the uncool role-playing way, but by doing coding and hardware stuff, so it's totally cool and legit. So then you need to tech. First time I became a participant, it was for the Lego series. We founded a team of newbies. None of us worked at the tech at the time, and we weren't really sure about our skills. But we figured that everyone's played with Legos, so yeah, let's go with the Legos. That's really, it can't be that hard. And anyways, if you totally suck at coding, there is always the graphic interface or something that you can use. So there would be no possibility of not being able to make the robot move at all. But actually, we were kind of good, and we were just it gave such a self-confidence, just out of nowhere, just coding Python for 48 hours and like being able to make a robot move autonomously, that the next year we decided to try the artificial invaders, which was like more advanced because there was like the hardware that we needed to make, and then also like the logic behind the robot was more complicated and we needed to use more complex logic there and algorithms and stuff. But it was okay because we already knew that the whole event is not about winning and like not embarrassing yourself by being the last, but it was more about like being together and learning new stuff with people that are cool. So that brings us to our next point, which is the people. To attract cool people, you need to have like interesting tech, but you need to have a good story also. And then what is really important for me when you think about like how to attract certain kind of people, it's like you need to think about diversity. Because if you only have like certain kind of people, then there is like a slight possibility that eventually you run out of that certain kind of people and you won't have contestants on your events anymore. So if you want to build an event that is something that you can have every year, you should think about it like what happens like in tech industry in general. Like first you have juniors and then those become seniors. Like if you have someone who's like super advanced level tech person and they don't know if your event is really nice, they probably don't want to donate their time to figure out like if it's cool or not. But if there's like juniors that are taken in and they feel that this is like super awesome and they build their confidence, and then you get like more people on your advanced series too. And this is how I think is like a very good way of doing tech event, like take everyone into consideration. So during the event, you want to have side hustles because people are different. Like not everyone enjoys coding 48 hours just like that. Sometimes they feel like they want to have a creative break. Like if you have like a block and you don't know what you're doing, it's so awesome to just wander around and do something fun and maybe talk to other people who are also there and go to an escape room that is made in a cargo container, or have a cocktail at a robot bar. Those are all stuff that we had at 2019, and I hope we will get back to that. And so next, Juha will tell about the partners that we need to make this happen. No.
Here you go.
The clicker is failing us.
Yes. So of course, building an event at this scale is quite difficult, so don't try to do it just alone with your team. Find some good partners. And there are a few different things which you should take into account. One is like if you want the participants to have time to attend your event, and especially if you want them to prepare in advance, then try to make it easier for them. We found that universities, at least in Finland, are quite open to giving some study credits for participating into a hackathon, for example. You might need to do like a list of things that people are learning during the weekend, but that's been something that kind of makes it easy for like a busy university student to find time to participate in an event like this. And our target audience is like university students and above like hobbyists in robotics in general. Then in order to make the event venue amazing and immersive, it's good to find some tech and art collectives that might help you to build cool props and amazing decorations. We have found this kind of people by participating in events like the Chaos Communication Conference or the Disobey and Alt Party in Finland. Then, bonus point, if you can get into your team some film and media students or professionals, they give you amazing value, not only at the event, but also afterwards in the shape of these kind of after movies that we get to show you also. Then if you're wondering, like, who is going to pay for all the fun stuff? We organized a narrative tech event, so we approached tech companies that are looking for new talents. And these kind of competitive events, of course, for the participants are a good way to show off their skills. But you should not settle down just for the paycheck. You should involve these sponsors in the story, in the narrative, give them their own mega corporations and secret agendas that they can instill on the teams that are working with them. And even like make them act out in your marketing videos like we have done. One thing that the corporate sponsors can also help you with is the side activities like the robot bar and the escape room and stuff, because they will be competing against each other, like who has the best area at the event, and they will bring all kinds of cool gadgets with them. So why are we actually telling you all of this? In short, it's because we want to see more of this kind of narrative tech events. And one challenge with organizing one is that you don't really get to participate in the same way as the participants do. So please make some events like this so we can come to attend yours. At the start, I asked if you will you join us. So will you join us in our next event coming somewhere next fall? Or maybe join our team and make it a reality. Especially if you are a creative talent, then it's easier to work remote and we can build this kind of narrative and cool puzzles and stuff online just fine. Or maybe you want to face this global conglomerate Drergar at a global scale and battle them somewhere else.
So it would be great if you just make your own. We would be super happy if you just want to embed it into our universe and found your own corporate city, state, wherever. And maybe one day in the near future, we'll get to weave all the narratives of the different city, state in one huge global distributed hackathon where it all comes together. But of course, you can't just make your own, invent your own universe. Maybe you want to be on the moon. Who am I to tell you otherwise? We showed you a lot of amazing stuff. And if you're like me, my favorite question here is, okay, but what is something concrete I can do about it? So I wanted to give you a couple of first steps. If you want to do a narrative tech event, I borrowed from the awesome Hackerspace design patterns, the 2+2 rule, meaning you want to do that, you get one other person to develop the vision with. Then you get two other person to start with the implementation of that vision. This will give you a foundation that will make it easy to attract more people. Narrative tech events are awesome after all. And as components, we would recommend that you start with the story. In that case, I split the story into story and world building, because I'm making the assumption that if you look at this and you're like, this is awesome, I want to do that, you might already either have a world you want to inhabit or a story you want to tell. So if you have the story, think about what is the world that in which this story happens, and then you get the world. If you start with the world, here we go. Oops, sorry, that was one too many. There's no going back. If you have the world, what is a good story that you can use to introduce your audience to this world? It doesn't have to be complicated. It's just a first step, and the story and the universe will grow with the events you make. And then pick a tech and get inspired by the tech that you want to play with the story you have to create an awesome competition. I hope I convinced you to start doing that, and I will give over to Katarina for closing remarks.
Let's see if I can make this work now.
Yes. Oh, I forgot. Yes, I wanted to tell you we'd help, of course. Join our Discord. There is a specific channel that we call Corporate City States of the World, where we will give you advice and share all our knowledge about making narrative tech events. Our stuff is open source. Get it there as well. We are willing to mentor. Me personally, the farthest away you are from Helsinki, the more work I will put in, because I really want to kick this thing global. Our community is very willing to help. Our competitors do contribute their software very often after the events. So there's a lot to dig from. So yeah, come there.
Thank you for listening to us. And after the questions, if you have more questions or if you're an introvert or otherwise shy person, join us at the tea house for more discussion.
We can also show us our 3D printed micro-innovator robot. It's like a ESP32.
Yeah, please talk about the robots with me. That's what I want to talk about more. Yeah. So the tea house is on the third floor, like just outside the sun. Yeah. Thank you.
So much.
Yeah. And special thank you to Chaos Communication Conference also for taking us in. And if you want to hear the results of the next competition, then bring us back next year.
Thank you for a great talk, and also thank you for answering the most obvious question. Maybe there are more questions. We still have a couple of minutes. If you're in the hall, you have to go to one of the 8 microphones here.
Did you ever think about making a computer game out of it? Like Disco Asylum?
Yes. Have we thought about making like a computer game? I think that has been something that has been bounced around. There is this early game component, which is the puzzles. They mainly take place online, and I think those could also have some more gamified elements, maybe a character builder of sorts where you can immerse yourself into the factions of the universe is something to start with.
But I guess like closest to a game is like the simulator that we use to train our robots, like the machine learning simulator.
Yeah, the AI-controlled robots playing the game. You can train the AI models in like a Unity-based simulator.
Yes. Microphone 3.
Hello. I was wondering, I've organized many hackathons before, and I had a hard time convincing companies to sponsor the event or even be present at the event. They would just send us banners so we could be like good corporate chills, and they wouldn't want to do it themselves. So how did you convince those companies, those sponsors, to not only give you money, but really invest time and people in it?
How do we convince the partners is, I think you just need to make something that's like bold and weird enough that they haven't really like being to this kind of thing before. Like you need to make some like outrageous claim how you will bring together like 150 people and make them actually work and not just create like PowerPoints, what often happens in hackathons. So one thing that we also told them that is that the partners should bring like their developers to also compete, so they get to like do hands-on cooperation with the teams and like, instead of just like interviewing them, like see their like talent in practice. That was one thing, for example, that might have helped the process.
Number 2, please.
Hello, thank you for the nice presentation and demonstration of the fine arts you put into this. I have a quick question. So if I were to bootstrap such a thing, it seems to me that I would want to have an event that is good enough that we can iterate on it, that it keeps running, that people want to contribute. What would be your idea of a minimum lovable event?
I didn't do my job right. This was what my last slide was called initially.
Nah, I mean, sorry.
It's fine. So now speaking, again, I'm the new guy, so speaking of my experience in hosting events and hacker stuff, you don't need a big event to make it awesome. Just if 150 people or 300 in the beginning, maybe it's 4, 5, 6 teams of 3 to 4 people, but they work together in a very maybe clear way. Like just strip it down to the core essential and do the things you do well. Don't do too much, but the things, find out what's essential, let's say to your story in that case, and do a few things well, not a lot of things half-assed, basically.
Yeah, I think from participant perspective, you want to aim not for like a big event, but like a memorable experience, and that can be small.
Maybe I can add something like, not like event-wise, but if you, for example, for us, when we started to reboot this and we didn't have like the possibility of have an event of our own, and so we went to other tech events, just had a booth somewhere where we would just show our stuff. Like, for example, we have this awesome community product called Human versus AI. It's a ball game where you compete against the AI robots, and it's been displayed in like a Night of the Arts in Helsinki, and we've had it at the Museum of Technology, and it's this kind of like fun and cool concept of like what we do that is like really easy to approach, because like you control the robots that you use with just a PlayStation controller.
Yep.
So, but you still get to play against AI, and we get to explain how it works and that kind of stuff. So,
maybe I have something. Yeah,
build a challenge and host it at the Chaos Communication Conference. Then you don't need to worry about building the whole event around it. You can just focus on the fun stuff.
Yeah, have a booth here and start like experimenting with your tech and story.
Maybe a thing that I noticed, like I moved around a bit, in smaller cities, I would almost think that it's easier because all the tech circles are interconnected. So when I came to Helsinki, meeting those guys, I met everyone else as well. And just reach out to those and have, like, this thing with partners, like you said, it doesn't have to be complicated. Maybe it's like the Algorave chapter of your city might want to do something with music, or the local hackerspace might have a robot format just there for you to use or something, yeah.
Okay, one really quick last question from the microphone over there, please.
Okay, you mentioned some AI tools that you're using. Maybe you just quickly name the names or the software that was in the previous answer you gave.
Yes, for the AI game, we have a Unity-based simulator. You can look up like Unity ML agents, for example, how to train a model that plays there, and then from the simulation, you need to figure out how to transfer it to the real world, but we have some materials for that. And of course, we also utilize like language models in the challenges, for example. But yeah, I guess that's the last question. We will be at the tea house where we can continue the discussion. And so come there and see our robot and ask any further questions.
Yeah, we can tell more about the libraries and stuff, like if you need the technical details.
Also, for those of you who might stream or not have time to go to the tea house, in our talk description, we have a lot of links. Our Discord, I think GitHub, I don't remember what I put in there, but you'll go from there. The website might not be organized, but see it as a little riddle to research where all the information is.
Great. Thank you for your great presentation of a wonderful event, and hopefully continue the discussion.